Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. For expert advice on love and relationships, call into the show at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Or you can submit your question online at AskDrLove.com. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. Our show is, Are You Trying to Force a Leopard to Change Its Spots? How respecting rather than devaluing each other's values is the way to end value conflicts. Try saying that one three times fast. So, question for you. Are you locked in a value conflict and you don't even know it? Well, if you're caught in a heated tug of war, banging your mutual heads against the wall, there's a good chance that a value conflict is afoot. And did you know that many couples fight to the death over value clashes? But because values make up the core of who you are, nobody should even try to change your values, nor should you ever try to change your partner's. So today we're going to tackle the thorny topic of value conflicts, how to know if you're locked in one, and how to navigate your way out and save your relationship without selling out your values. And then we're going to have three questions, as usual, some that I selected from the site. The first one's Man in a Money War, and here I'm helping out a guy whose girlfriend was raised to believe that the man should pay for everything, but he wants to split their money 50-50, and she resents him for it. So stick around to find out how he can address the topic of splitting the funds without splitting them up. And the second question I'm going to lay on you is unhappy hooker. I guess I shouldn't say lay on you in the context of the unhappy hooker. So I help out a woman who's deeply offended by her partner's request that she dress up like a prostitute. So stay tuned to find out how she can handle his wish for role playing without rolling over her own values. And in Wife, Your Wife is Trying to Shove Religion Down Your Throat, I'm helping a guy whose faith in the future of his marriage is sinking fast as a result of his wife's statements that their marriage won't survive unless he shares her level of faith. So stick around to find out how he can handle a wife who's a holy roller without rolling over his own religious values. And Reading Between the Sheets, you know, where I tackle those tough sex problems and put them to bed. This one that I'm picking today is called Man Who is Disgusted by Girlfriend's Previous Sexual Activity. And here I'm helping out a sexually conservative man who can't swallow the fact that his girlfriend performed oral sex on her previous boyfriends. All right. So on to today's show. Value conflicts. Or are you trying to force the leopard to change its spots? So let me give you an example. This is true. This happened this week. Mike and Marie, names changed to protect the innocent and guilty. Mike and Marie were sitting in my office this week, and they were arguing over her habit of leaving dishes in the sink to soak. And Mike, who's an ex-military man, was militant over finishing the kitchen detail before moving on to other activities. But for me, Marie, his insistence that she keep the kitchen spick and span and clean it up on the double as soon as they're finished with dinner feels to her more like ramming a frying pan down her throat. She can't swallow his values, and nor should she be asked to. But he can't stand her lax cleaning habits. So this couple is locked in a value conflict. So before I go farther, let me just say, what are values? Do you know what values are? They're defined as important and lasting beliefs or ideals shared by the members of a culture, a group, family, or even an individual. And these are the values about what is good or bad and desirable or undesirable. And as you know, values are actually assimilated through your upbringing, your social conditioning, and your culture. So you're enveloped in them in the form of rules and morals and social norms before you even realize you have a choice about which ones you want to live by. And when you're young, it's often a matter of compliance with the enforced values of family, school, and community, and fitting in, and it's the price of belonging. But when you're older, they're so ingrained you often take them for granted and you just assume that they are the only right way to be and tacitly accept or unconsciously live them out. And it's often through conflict with peers, parents, teachers, or through encountering others who hold different values from your own that you begin to question the conventional or majority value that you may feel pressured to adopt. Now, how do values figure into relationship conflict? Well, obviously, when values clash, partners clash. So this is why I say it helps greatly if you are homogamous or similar to your partner. And if you have homogamy in your values, your intimate relationships are going to go smoothly because your relationship satisfaction is going to be linked to how much you see eye to eye on important things. So when you think about religious, cultural, sexual, or political beliefs, tastes, preferences, you can't forget that your values make up the core of who you are. They're not up for negotiation. And to attempt to do so is like trying to force a leopard to change its spots. So unfortunately, many distressed couples are in trouble precisely because they are, without knowing it, fighting about and attempting to negotiate behavioral changes around values. For example, let's say you and your partner have different preferences regarding where you like to have sex. Your mate wants sex on the living room floor, but you prefer the posturepedic, or as one patient used to say, the posture penis, and that really fits in this case. So, but for you, the posturepedic mattress is as wild as you like to get. Now, neither person's preferred location is wrong. Each of you is entitled to his or her mattress mores. So, on the subject of tastes and values, let me tell you about Vicky. Now, her bathtub drain was always clogged beyond belief with a lethal-sized hairball, and she was always saying, you know, if Pete would just outgrow his hippie phase and buzzsaw that mountain of spaghetti on his head, she wouldn't be forced to play Mrs. Plummer. And she went on to complain that Pete lights his hair long and refuses to cut it. And they habitually argue on this subject. Now, are Pete's hair follicle preferences an area where Vicky has a right to request change? Because we're talking about Pete's own hair values, and either Vicky can live with them or she can't. So I've talked to you so far about the fact that attitudes, tastes, and preferences are non-negotiable. But what about habits? So in the case of Pete, if his long hair impinges on Vicky by clogging the drain, then she may have a subject worthy of negotiation. But what if habits are value-laden? Then they're also non-negotiable. So, for example, let's say that each Saturday morning you like to dive into the household chores, but during that time your husband has a habit of lounging on the couch and avoiding anything productive. So you might feel tempted to negotiate for a change of behavior. But what if your husband's habit is value-laden? Let's say he was raised an Orthodox Jew and was prohibited to do any work on the Sabbath. So in this case, relaxing on Saturday mornings is part of his value system. So you can't and shouldn't touch his Sabbath habits with a 10-foot pole. So let me give you another example. A husband who was raised by parents who were hippies has a habit of paying the bills at the very last minute. Now, his parents taught him that life should be primarily fun and freedom-filled and that work and chores could be done whenever. So as you can see, this husband's habit of paying bills in the 11th hour is also value-laden. Now, if the wife of this guy was raised in a family that taught her to be early for appointments and deadlines, then her expectation that the bills be paid early is also value-laden. So in this case, the couple has a clash of values. And what can be done of this, short of divorce, I mean? Well, since values are an integral part of a person's makeup, you can't ask someone to negotiate away a part of his or her identity any more than you can be asked to do this. And demanding that your partner alter a behavior that's value-laden is like asking him to commit psychological suicide. And what's more, expecting someone to relinquish a value-laden behavior is the same as saying your value's wrong and mine is right. And this type of qualitative judgment just doesn't apply to values. Values may clash, but they can't be labeled wrong or right. So how do you deal with a value conflict? Well, you have three main options. The first one is ask yourself, do I really want to get into a war over this value-laden habit? Now, asking yourself this question may lead you to simply accept your differences. Now, the second thing you want to do is address the value conflict as though it were an emotional issue by listening to each other's points of view without trying to enforce a behavioral change on each other. That's the important point. And three, as a result of your mutual understanding and respect for each other's values, then you might both decide to negotiate a resolution that's acceptable to you both, one in which both your values are respected. And to do this, then you would follow the negotiation steps that I describe in Till Death Do Us Part, unless I kill you first. All right, now another thing I want you to consider is that when you're dealing with habits that annoy you, it is wise to ask yourself, is this habit directed against me? Now, you know women tend to be prone to excessive personalization. So you need to be aware of the tendency, if you're a woman, to wrongly assume that your partner's hanging onto a habit to intentionally annoy, provoke, or defy you. So to steer away from unwarranted personalization, ask yourself, would my partner still engage in this annoying habit if he lived alone? And did he act this way before I was on the scene? And very often when you examine the issue with a cool eye, you're going to realize that the habit is not directed against you. And this can also help you let go of the issue. Now, sometimes value conflicts are smoke screens for deeper issues. For example, Paul and Jerry, they continually argue about whether to marry or not. Now, he believes that love is all that counts and that a piece of paper isn't what you need to prove your love. But Paula wants a totally hedonistic wedding bash. So these two people share very different values on the subject of marriage. So either they can decide to live with their differences or they can't. But there also may be more going on here than meets the eye. Maybe Paula and Jerry are fighting about I do or I don't instead of facing deeper issues. Like perhaps fighting about whether to marry or not conceals deeper fears of intimacy and commitment for both of them. So you want to beware of the tendency to negotiate on the overt fight content. And, you know, beware, too, that many couples in marital counseling are actually guided to negotiate on overt subjects of conflict. But the contracts that result from these negotiations don't work because you never address the real conflict. That is, the feelings underlying the overt issue. And of course, since emotions can be so painful, the mind's often going to cut off from the feelings and focus on behaviors and trying to get each other to change behaviors. So instead of admitting to yourself that you feel hurt and frightened for that your mate comes home late, you might be inclined to confront your partner on various actions that he takes. Why didn't he call? What was he doing? Who was he with? But once you veer off onto the discussion of behaviors, the natural progression is to negotiate a contract that outlines more acceptable behaviors. Now, I know it sounds good on paper, but the feelings of fear and hurt and anger were not addressed. They've gone underground, and then they just reappear in another form and another time. So negotiating won't resolve your true issue, the feeling of insecurity and anger in this case. So when negotiating proves ineffective in solving any area of conflict, you have to assume that the feelings were really being brushed under the emotional rug. So let me give you an example of that. This patient that I had called Lily, she was hurt and angry that her partner never pitched in to help her around the house. And for years, the couples worked in therapy, and they negotiated numerous contracts to no avail. So when Lily came to see me, she was bemoaning the fact that her partner didn't care. So I realized why contracting had never worked for this couple, because her partner hadn't understood how she felt about handling it all. And Lily had been the Cinderella of her family of origin, and she was forced to do all the work while her sister lounged on the couch. So Lily had unconsciously recreated her family of origin, and no amount of contracting was going to take this problem away. She needed to realize first what old scar she was trying to heal through her repetitive fights. And then she had to decide to relinquish her role as Cinderella. And once she reached this level of realization and resolution, then she could explain to her partner how his behavior made her feel, and then the impasse resolved. So I hope you're getting that emotions that underlie your conflictual issues have to be addressed before you can even think about negotiating for a change. But here's where things get a little tricky, because beneath the feelings that you're aware of lurk even deeper feelings that you may not know. And if you want to resolve your conflicts, you need to go beyond the overt emotional layer and access what I call your emotional core. I'm going to take a brief break, and when I come back, I'm going to tell you just how to get to the emotional core and really uproot what you think are irreconcilable differences. Be back in a moment.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1996. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of free relationship advice articles on any relationship issue you may have. Or you can submit a question to her free advice column. However, if you're listening live, why not call in? Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, and this is a unique chance to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. So, if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. Now back to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and we're talking about value conflicts today. And just before I took the break, I promised to talk about how I could help you access the emotional core, the deepest part of yourself. Because unless you unearth your core feelings, you're going to have little hope of resolving your conflicts. So let me give you some examples of the most common value conflicts that arise in relationships and help you realize what the core feeling might be around each case. So here's one. I need closeness and intimacy with you. And then the partner says, I need space, don't bother me. And half of all the fights come around these. These are molar conflicts. So obviously, when you say, I need closeness and intimacy, your emotional core around this has to do with probably having been neglected, rejected, abandoned as a kid. And so when you fight for your partner to give you more time or attention, what you're really talking about is the core wound that you suffered, that you didn't have enough. And the partner, in turn, who's saying, I want my space, don't bother me, was most likely smothered and just is trying to get some room, the room he or she was never given as a kid. Now here's another one. So we have to act like free spirits and be spontaneous, or the other partner, the opposite of this value is we must be a logical and rational person. So often when you want to be a free spirit and spontaneous, your core wound was that you were overly controlled as a kid. And so the core of you just wants to break free and rebel. And somebody who says, I have to be logical and rational, may have been a person who never had enough limits and is trying to go against it to combat a feeling of having been left alone and abandoned, or just repeating a parent that was overly logical and controlling and rational, and it's just a straitjacket. Now, here's another. We can spend money and get what we want versus let's put it on plastic. Oh, we can spend money and get what we want. Let's put it on plastic. Or the alternative value, we have to save money. Well, beware also when you're talking about money. Money often connects to love. So when you're fighting about you're not letting me spend enough or you're controlling me, it feels like the emotional core wound is I didn't get enough money. I didn't get enough love. I didn't get enough attention as a child. Now, here's another one. I have to have control over you. Versus don't tell me what to do. I have to have control over you. Don't tell me what to do. Versus the alternative value, I have to be an independent person. So whenever you think you have to have control over the other and you say to the other, don't tell me what to do, generally you were deeply wounded and overly controlled as a kid. Or sometimes you'll see this kind of problem when you were molested, psychologically abused, so you need to be hyper in control of your environment and the other person, because the wound in there is you feel very powerless and out of control. And then it can go to the flip side. I have to be an independent person because I was too controlled. Now, here's another. We must keep the secrets, the strong and silent type, or let's be open and talk about everything. And another, let's have sex all the time, or sex is okay once in a while. Conflict and anger should be expressed and accepted versus don't be angry. I don't want to clean the house. We have to live in a neat, clean house. You must have a successful career, or I just want to live a laid-back kind of life. Children should be raised strictly. Children should be allowed to be free and spontaneous. That one's a big, big war that couples get into. My work comes above everything. Or you must be here for the family or you don't love me. I withdraw when we fight to take care of myself, and or I'll go on the offensive and go after you, two opposite ways of handling conflict. Our marriage must be monogamous, or I want to experience different sexual partners. That's a real value clash. And my parents, friends, or the kids come before you, or our partnership comes first. Now, obviously, I don't have all the time to go into every single one of these value clashes, but read Till Death Do Us Part, because what it explains to you is all the value conflicts and the emotional core that underlies them. But the point that I want you to remember is you don't want to negotiate around value conflicts, because you're only going to create more conflict for yourself. And beware of the fact that many relationship manuals and therapists are going to advise you to negotiate because it's a structured process. It yields observable results when it's successful. But it also helps you avoid feelings. And we all know how uncomfortable feelings can be. So it feels much easier to negotiate a contract that outlines behavioral change and just steer clear of the emotionally rough seas. So obviously the purpose of a negotiation is to split the apple in half. But when it comes to values, you can't split your values in half, because that's like splitting yourself in half. So if you can't negotiate, what can you do when your values clash? Collaborate. First thing you do is to spend a lot of time listening to each other, reflecting back what you hear. Make sure you've grasped each other's thoughts and feelings and points of view, and even the emotional core that's underlying the conflict. And to learn to listen like a pro, just, you know, remember to use Till Death Do Us Part. It'll show you how. And then put your heads together and come up with a solution that respects both of your value systems. And by taking this approach, you aren't twisting anybody's arm. You're working together in a loving and respectful way to come up with a solution that works. All righty. Let me take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you like what you're hearing, you can learn about Dr. Turndorf's techniques for turning conflict into connection and healing in her critically acclaimed, groundbreaking book, Till Death Do Us Part, Unless I Kill You First, a step-by-step guide for resolving relationship conflict. Find out more about this book and read a free excerpt by visiting AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. And if you have a question for her, please call in now at 888-463-6748. This show is for you, the listeners, so please give her a call now. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. We're talking about leopards and spots and not trying to change each other's spots. In other words, don't manhandle each other about your differing values, how to work with each other. So let me give you a couple of tweets on this topic. A relationship rots when you try to get your partner to change his or her spots. Values make up the core of who you both are. Trying to change each other causes many a scar. Values need to be accepted, not negotiated. For a permanent peace treaty, allow each other to just be. Accepting your value differences will allow you to experience euphoria glimpses. Your relationship will end up in the sticks if you try to negotiate around your value conflicts. And when it comes to values, don't debate, collaborate. That's a good one. I like that one. All right. So now, let's get to some questions. And each of the questions that I've picked connects to value conflicts in one way or another. You'll see as we go on. The first one's called Man in a Money War. Dear Dr. Love, I'm sure you get bombarded with emails, so I'll make this brief. In my relationship with my girlfriend, a constant problem that keeps arising is money. We both work in the same industry, earning roughly the same pay, but she has this romantic notion that the male should always pay the way for dinner, movies, trips, etc. And when we first began dating, I did pay for everything. But after 2 years, I think some type of agreement should be reached, especially since we spend every day together. Presently, we split expenses such as food and entertainment, which she says she resents me for. And I suggested that we alternate treating or both pool money weekly into a fund to spend on entertainment. Needless to say, she rejected both of these ideas. She was raised in an environment where her mom did not work and her dad took care of everything. Nearly every couple I know nowadays goes Dutch, and in some cases, it's the woman who is always offering to pick up the bill. Okay, so you and your girl are locked in a true hardcore value conflict. Now, the value conflict in your case relates to your divergent views about how money should be handled. And the problem with value conflicts is that neither person's values are wrong or right, as I've been saying. So they are what they are, and they can't be changed. So values actually form the fabric of your personality. They're almost part of your DNA. And the problem here is that your girlfriend's upbringing and the values that were transmitted to her and her first family are diametrically opposed to yours. So you believe in splitting expenses, and she believes in being carried by the man in her life. So what can you do? So both of you are going to have to accept the fact that you don't share the same values. And you both have to accept that you can't even think about trying to coerce the other into altering his or her values, because you can't make a leopard change its spots any more than you can try to make each other alter your values. So what you can do is to try to come up with an arrangement that respects both of your values, because neither of you should feel wiped out by the other. And as it stands now, you're being wiped out as she imposes her value system on you. So see if you can come up with a plan that respects your mutual values. And if you can't, then it's going to be hard for this relationship to make old bones, not unless you both want to spend your lives making money the bone of contention. So explain it to your girlfriend in the way I said, that you're in a value conflict. Her values aren't right or wrong. They're just different. And if she wants this relationship to work and she doesn't want you to store up too much resentment toward her, she's got to find a way of working with you that's comfortable. All right. Now, here's another question that I call unhappy hooker. Dear Dr. Love, lately my boyfriend has been into a kinky game. See, he wants me to dress up like a hooker and pretend that he is one of my clients. This offends me to no end, but he won't stop. Please help, Dr. Love. Okay, so you are also experiencing a value conflict, because he's turned on by the thought of your playing his hooker. Meanwhile, you find the prospect of doing so offensive. Now, his sexual values aren't any more right than are yours, but the problem is that your values clash big time. So now if you give in to him, you're going to feel offended. And if he tries to deny his desire to role play with you, then he's going to be annihilating an important part of himself. And the problem with value conflicts is that there is no real way to compromise, because that would be like asking someone to be a little Catholic. When couples experience a value clash, all they can do is respect their differences and come up with a plan of attack that embraces both partners' values. And I don't even mean attack in that sense. Now, I have the idea that we're dealing with more than a simple value conflict here, because I'm thinking that his request has hurt your feelings and has made you think that he isn't satisfied with you as a sexual partner. And the fact that he isn't being responsive to your feelings just adds to your feeling unimportant to him. And I wonder if you feel sure of his love and commitment to you. So if not, then this hooker game is actually triggering deeper feelings of insecurity about him and the relationship. And I think that he may not be communicating how much he cares for you and wants you and only you. And if he were able to give you the right feeling, then I wouldn't be surprised to find that you would feel differently about the game. I'm only just guessing. So try to work on his learning how to communicate his warm and loving feelings, and make sure to address and resolve all the issues in your relationship that leave you feeling insecure about him. Because when you feel stronger about him and the relationship, you may find that you feel less threatened or offended by playing the game. And I think that you might also feel less offended by his request if you were able to understand what might be motivating his behavior. So I just want you to know that Like a supermarket scanner, men are programmed to rack up as many females as they can in the least amount of time. And men are literally hardwired, no pun intended. They're hardwired this way to ensure the survival of the species. So this explains why men crave sex with many partners, since the instinct was designed and is designed to impregnate as many females as possible. And since your boyfriend loves you, he doesn't want to satisfy his instinct for variety by cheating on you. So instead, he chooses to include you in his fantasy for variety. Now, remember, there's a big difference between fantasy and reality, because he could have gone to a hooker, but he didn't. And by doing so, he is telling you that he wants to be faithful to you. And after you both have worked on strengthening your bond, then you can see about how you might find a way to satisfy his urge for sexual variety without putting you in the hooker role. So would you be more comfortable pretending that you both are strangers who meet for an anonymous sexual encounter, but it's still you? So you both need to respect his biological programming as well as your and all females' need for security. And with love and understanding, you both should be able to come up with a game that meets your mutual needs and respects your values. And if you find it impossible to consider any form of role-playing, then you might want to do some self-work to find out how his request may be churning up your own old scars. Because if, for example, you didn't feel adequately loved by one or both of your parents, then you'd be overly sensitive to any signs from him that could be interpreted as you're not being good enough for him. So as you work to identify and resolve the wounds of your childhood, and when he learns to communicate his loving feelings for you in better and better ways, and when you both make sure that you resolve all the relationship issues that may threaten your sense of security with him and the relationship, you may feel safer to role play with him. All right, let me know how you do. Because there is light at the end of this tunnel. Alrighty. Now, this next question is a doozy. Your wife is trying to shove religion down your throat. Dear Dr. Love, when I met my wife, I wasn't into religion. We've been married for almost 2 years, and the other day she confronted me, telling me that she feels like our marriage isn't going to work because I'm not as religious as she is, because I don't sit down and read the Bible with her at night. Now, I have nothing against religion, but I'm not a religious person. And she tells me different things the Bible says about relationships and how if you have a believer and a non-believer, the marriage will not last. I work a full-time job, and plus I go to college full-time in the evening after work, and I spend my weekends with my family or with her. Now, her family is real religious, so I don't speak to them at all because every time I do, they start preaching to me about God and how I need to find him. I don't drink or do drugs. I served 5 years in the Marines. I thought I was doing pretty good with my life so far. I'm not saying that I don't believe. I just don't take it near as serious as she does, especially to the extent that it's worth ending our marriage over. She knew how I was when we first met, and I went to church with her a few times. We have a pretty good marriage for the most part. We have arguments from time to time over small things, but nothing like this. We've split up before and got back together, and I truly thought everything was going good until the other night. I go to work and school and come home, and to be honest, I will never be like her when it comes to religion. And just as I am never expecting her to be into computers and duck hunting like I am. So what advice can you give me to address this problem? Because I don't want to live my life with someone who thinks that I should need to change my life with God. That's something I should be able to do on my own. She takes religion very serious to the extent that I should be able to relate problems we have to problems in the Bible and ask God to resolve everything. And sorry, I'm not like that. Can you help me? Well, you are really, really in a tight spot because you and your wife are experiencing a religious value conflict. And since it's rare for mates to share identical values in all areas of life, value conflicts are common in marriage. Because values make up the core of who you are, your wife can't expect to change your religious values any more than you can expect to change hers. As you said, you wouldn't even try to make her like duck hunting or computers or any of that. Now, when couples experience the kind of conflict that you are having, they need to accept and respect each other's differences. Now, clearly your wife is having a problem in respecting your values. So the first thing we need to understand is why your religious beliefs have suddenly become a problem for her. Because as you said to me, she knew all about your beliefs before you married, and she married you all the same. So if she didn't feel the need to change you before, then why is she trying to change you now? And if I had to guess, I'd say that she is unhappy with other non-religious aspects of the relationship. And because she's so devout, she thinks that that only the Bible and God can provide solutions to your relationship problems. So for this reason, she believes that your relationship issues are going to go unresolved until you can ask God for help. And she may think that your lack of religious observance is her problem, but I'm sure that she wouldn't be trying to shove God down your throat if all were well in the relationship. So at this point, your only hope is to steer away from religious discussions and ask her to talk about the relationship. Speak from the heart. Tell her that you love her and you want her to be happy with you, and ask her what it is that you're doing or not doing that makes her unhappy in the relationship. Now, if she tries to talk about religion, gently steer the conversation back onto you, her, and the relationship. And if she insists on talking religion, you might say, "I have the impression that you think I am unable or unwilling to be a better husband to you, and that I would need a miracle like finding God to help me to change." And you might also tell her that she wouldn't feel as desperate for outside help unless she felt that you were beyond reach. So be accessible to her. Be open. Be responsive. Accept responsibility for disappointing her, because I view this power struggle over your lack of religious observance as a symbolic communication, because she's saying symbolically that she feels that you are unable to be responsive to her, that she needs God in order to fix you in the relationship. Now, if you prove otherwise, she should be willing to give God a rest. So let me know how you make out, because this is a very painful situation and very, very difficult. But if you approach it where we go at the core, the emotional issue, come off the overt issue, the power struggle around the religion, go to the emotional core, the only way to break the impasse. All right, let me take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. To speak to Dr. Turndorf live on the air, call 888-463-6748. That's 888-463-6748. If you've recently been through a breakup and are looking for a second chance, wondering how you can reconcile with your ex, or if it's even possible after all you've been through, Dr. Turndorf's latest book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, presents her 5-step plan for reconciling with your ex. This plan was developed out of years of research, working with thousands of couples at her Center for Emotional Communication. This is a proven no-hype and no-nonsense method that gets right to the root of the problem to guide you to the right path towards reigniting a lasting relationship. For more about Make Up, Don't Break Up, visit AskDrLove.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Jamie Turndorf, Ph.D. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Hello again, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and we're talking about value conflict. You can't believe how many couples end up fighting to the death or in divorce court over value conflicts. People will come to me for couples therapy or marriage counseling, and when I listen to them, and they've been all over the place for couples therapy, and they've tried to negotiate and written contracts, and I'm listening and I'm thinking, you guys, you can't negotiate. You cannot negotiate on your values. You just can't do it. Like, remember that couple I mentioned to you last week where the husband was so upset because the wife doesn't make the kitchen spick and span, right? And she felt like he was controlling her incredibly and forcing her to clean up. Well, it turned out that even though on the surface it was a value conflict in his style of cleanliness versus her lax cleaning habits, they were differing values around cleanliness. As we talked, what became very interesting was there was an emotional wound that underlied this value conflict. And this was fascinating because she kept trying to plead with him to understand that she was trying as best she could to be responsive to his cleanliness ways, and that the bedroom she tries to pick up, she doesn't drop tissues on the floor anymore. And as I watched her trying to show him that she was being responsive and caring about what was important to him, he kept on fighting with her and resisting and saying, well, I don't see any difference. And the bedroom we're in, there's no room to clutter it up anyway. And he just kept spitting out her offering. And finally, I realized he had an old scar that was blinding him to the efforts she was making to be responsive. And he was holding on to this value conflict as a way of expressing his old scar. And when I said to him, why is it that it seems you have to believe that she doesn't care about you and is unresponsive, and you spit out any evidence to the contrary? And he suddenly blinked and he said, oh my gosh, that's how I've felt in my whole life, with my family, with my wives, with my children. He said, I'm used to feeling that way. So his old scar, that emotional core wound, was underlying the value conflict. And for the wife, what was so amazing was she had her own scar being activated by him trying to make her be neat. She was actually being sloppier because she felt he was being a critical parent, like the parent she grew up with. And her old scar was being activated by their differing values. So you see what I'm talking about. Always try to go beneath the overt conflict to get to the emotional core wound, the old scar beneath. And when you address that and you both understand the wounds and are really listening and understanding each other, many of these conflicts resolve, even when they're around differing values. All right, let me give you a reading between the sheets question now. This one's called Man Who Is Disgusted by Girlfriend's Previous Sexual Activity. Dear Dr. Love. No, wait, I'm on the wrong page. Gosh almighty, do you think I need a vacation by now? I don't know. Wait a minute, did I read this one before? No, I didn't. All right. Dr. Love, you need a vacation. Man Who's Disgusted by Girlfriend's Previous Sexual Activity. So, dear Dr. Love, I know you're a very busy person and you receive thousands of letters every week, but I still wish that I'd get lucky by getting my letter answered by you in this column. And I'm thanking you in anticipation for your willingness to spend your time to read my letter and give me your professional opinion. All right, so let me introduce myself as a 25-year-old man who's been in love with a girl since high school. And she was my first love in high school. And since we're separated 6 months before graduation, that was 6 years ago, I've never had any love relationship with another girl or woman. And not that I cannot find any, it's just that I simply cannot forget her. She was and she is the only one I love all this time. And even when we're taking our own paths in the last several years. So for the last 4 years, she's been in a relationship with another man. And early this year, I started making contact again with her, calling her and telling her that I've missed her a lot and that ours deserves a second chance, although I knew that she was still with somebody else. So she took my love again, and finally she dumped her boyfriend, and we started dating again. But before she made the decision to dump her boyfriend and come back to me, she said something like this. Are you sure that you still want me? Because to tell you the truth, I have done some awful things with my boyfriend, and I'm not sure whether you still want me if you were to know the truth. And I responded naively by saying something similar to this. I don't care about your past, because I'm in love with your past. I'm not in love with your past. I'm in love with you. So I told her that because in my mind, I didn't think that she would have done things as awful as what she told me later on. And I thought what she did with her boyfriend was just kissing or hugging, but nothing more than that. So after a month of the new relationship with her, she told me that she wanted to be honest with me and that what she's done with her ex-boyfriend, and although she knew that there's a possibility that she might lose me after she tells me the truth about her past, she told me that she voluntarily had oral sex, blowjob, excuse my language, with her boyfriend several times. So I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. See, the thing is that I was born up and grew in Malaysia, and it's a country where virginity and sexual purity is still considered a sacred thing. And I loved her, and I still do. And I still want to continue our relationships and one day perhaps propose to her. But the thing is, despite how much I want to continue our relationship, I'm really not sure that I'd be able to one day forget and forgive and let go of the uneasy feelings of knowing her, knowing that she did such awful and disgusting things. So what am I supposed to do? I love her. But every time I look at her, those awful images of her performing a blowjob for another man keeps haunting my mind. And that's making me so confused and uncomfortable. And at times I even felt disgust for her. And I'm even not sure whether I'd be able to make love with her once we're married without those awful images flashing in my mind. So what am I supposed to do? Because I really, really want to continue our relationship because I love her so much. And it may sound impossible to feel both ways, but that's exactly how I feel. I really love her, but I'm not sure whether someday I'd be able to forget those things and start moving on. And please don't judge my view of sexual purity. Please understand my background and that I grew up in a completely different society from the Americans. Okay, so I do understand the bind you're in. I do, because given your background and your beliefs, it makes sense that you find it hard to swallow the fact that your girlfriend engaged in oral sex with her last boyfriend. So I think you're asking me if there's any way that you can get over your feelings and move forward with this girl. And the problem here is that your feelings of disgust are tied up with deep cultural convictions. So giving up the feeling of disgust is going to be like reprogramming your entire belief system. And that is not possible. So what can you do? So could you come to accept the differences between the culture where you were born and the American culture? Because if you could make room for other cultural practices, then you might come to accept that what your girlfriend did was not disgusting given American standards. Because had she been a Malaysian girl, then you could apply your standards to her. But since she wasn't raised with your values, then your values don't apply to her. Now, if you can't make room for your differing values, then I'm afraid that you're going to need to find a girl from your own culture, because there's much to be said for homogamy or similarity of values, because when people are raised with the same values and beliefs, these types of issues don't come up. So I wish you so much luck, and I hope that you can make peace with yourself and with her. Let me know how you make out. All right. So, you know, I do have another question that came in. That I have a few minutes, so let me give it to you. It's woman in love with a much younger man. Dear Dr. Love, I'm a 48-year-old married woman, and I'm having an affair with a 28-year-old man. You go, girl. So we've been seeing each other for 8 months now, and I'm not happy in my marriage. But my husband is like a roommate. Oh, I said you go, girl. You're married. Yeah, this is going to create problems. So you're not happy in your marriage. My husband is like a roommate, and we've not had any form of intimacy for 2 years. He's a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober for 4 years now. I was married before and after my husband died, and I was so lonely. And after a year went by, I met this guy, and he was lonely too. And we thought we were in love, but not so for me anyway. So then I met this great guy, and we started to see each other once a week, and now it's 4 to 5 times a week, and he wants a family and a wife, and I can't give that to him. So we're so confused as to what to do. We do love each other. And my question is, how long would he want me after I started to really age? And that is what holds me back, because I'd leave my husband in a minute to be able to spend my life with him. But I don't want to hurt him for any reason if I don't have to. So please give me some kind of response. I don't know who to turn to for advice. Thank you so much. And all right, so listen, before I answer your question, is there a chance that your love could last given the large age difference? That was the question. So let me begin with an observation. I noticed that you said that you thought you were in love at vulnerable points in your life. When you were a widow of 1 year and lonely, you met your current husband and you believed you had fallen in love with him. Now you're lonely and you're unfulfilled in your marriage and you think you're in love with your lover. So you said without question that you were in love with this new man, but you thought you loved your husband too. So when you are lonely and unfulfilled, you are vulnerable to falling in love or thinking you've fallen in love. And you're not alone with this. Many of us fall in love when we're trying to fill in emptiness inside ourselves. So I want you to examine yourself and make sure that you are not repeating what happened the last time and convincing yourself that you're in love in order to escape painful, lonely feelings in the marriage. Okay, now, what else can I say to you? Regarding the question you asked me, can a relationship between two people with great age differences work? Well, obviously, relationships are hard enough to navigate without adding the age difference factor. But that said, I've known many couples who've had wonderfully compatible relationships despite their age difference. I was so happy with my husband, and we had a huge age difference until he died of a bee sting. So in your case, there's one glaring age-related issue on the table, the fact that he wants to start a family and have children. Now, that issue has to be clarified, because from the sound of it, you can't have children of your own any longer. So would you be willing to adopt kids? Would he? Now, if this topic isn't ironed out, you are at risk of getting dumped down the road if and when he decides he can't live without children of his own. Now, the second thing you want to examine is his unconscious fantasies connected with choosing a partner who's much older than himself. So, in other words, does he behave like an equal with you, or does he want you to take care of him like a mommy? Because, you know, sometimes young men do choose much older women because they're looking for mommies to care for them. A nurse or a purse. So that's fine if both partners accept the terms, but more often than not, the older woman isn't aware of the man's desires, and she ultimately comes to resent being placed in this position. So you want to examine this issue as well and figure out whether your desires match on this point. So why don't you do my compatibility test? It's a free download with newsletter sign up. Do it, because it's going to help you figure out how compatible you are with this man. And find out whether you truly have a soul connection, which has nothing to do with age. The more similar you both are and the better you communicate, the more you are going to be compatible for life. And if you find out that there is sufficient emotional glue to bind you together, then just talk to him about your fear that he's going to tire of you or not want you as you age. And then after you've conducted all that exploration, then you're really, really going to have a complete answer to the question that you've asked me. And I hope that it turns out that this man is right for you and that you finally have found a lasting love relationship. You deserve it, because you've had a lot of loss and a lot of disappointment in your life. So I'm just going to end today by reminding you, when you have value conflicts, the behaviors that arise out of these conflicts may or may not be something that you can even try to negotiate or collaborate on. But if you focus on the emotions that are stirred as a result of your differing values and handle them the way you'd address any other emotional issues, using the steps that I explain in my Until Death Do Us Part, discussing your feelings in a way that makes your partner want to listen to you, cooling down the climate using my various relationship climate control techniques, presenting your issues properly using my XY formula, and becoming a master at listening, you should be able to steer clear of any and all value conflicts that destroy most relationships. I know you can do it, but make sure you handle the feelings, all the emotional core that underlies your value conflicts. Treat each other with love and respect and kindness, and you should be able to handle all value conflicts. And did you guys know, very exciting, last weekend I received a call from CNN, and they asked to do a two-part series on my methods. So I ran one interview on Saturday on CNN and another one on Sunday. So the Saturday interview is still up on CNN. It's on the Weekend Express page. Just scroll down if you want to see the interview, if you missed it. All right, that's all I have for you, and I will see you again next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio. And mind your ways, mind your feelings, and you'll get through your value conflicts. Take care for now.